Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Give him the glory due unto his name. We lift you up and we praise you, Father God, for this brand new day. We pray for those who are traveling, that you would give them traveling mercies. Those who have already returned safely, we thank you for the traveling mercies that they have already received. And we just pray that you would surround us like the mountains surround Jerusalem. Protect us and keep us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mountain moving faith. That's what we need for that formidable mountain of desperation. We just need to move it out of the way. And how do we do that? We speak to the mountain with faith that is supercharged from time spent in prayer and fasting. Yes. We need mountain moving faith to move the mountain of desperation, but we need mountain climbing praise as we ascend the majestic mountain of worship. And that's what the Psalms of Ascent were all about. There were Psalms, a group of Psalms from 120 to 134 that were actually songs that were sung as the people went up the mountain, Mount Zion, on their way to worship in the temple. And so, as we get started in our meditation today, we are going to join those worshipers as they ascend Mount Zion in Jerusalem with this psalm of praise, psalm of ascent, found in Psalms 128. How joyful are those who fear the Lord, all who follow his ways. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How joyful and prosperous you will be. Your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine, flourishing within your home. Your children will be like vigorous young olive trees as they sit around your table. That is the Lord's blessing for those who fear him. May the Lord continuously bless you from, there's the word, Zion, Mount Zion. May you see Jerusalem prosper as long as you live. May you live to enjoy your grandchildren. May Israel have peace. Now, as I read those last two verses, may you see Jerusalem prosper. May Israel have peace. I think it is entirely appropriate to add or modify slightly those last two verses and say it this way. May our city of Wilmington prosper. May America have peace. Undoubtedly, our land is in turmoil on multiple levels, locally as well as nationally. And so we cry out to God for a change in the hearts of the people, so that hate is replaced with love, so that violence is replaced with peace, so that lies are replaced with truth, so that opposition is replaced with unity. And so we praise God as we ascend into the holy mountain, knowing the condition of our land, we can still praise God. Why? Because of who he is. Because we know that he is larger and more majestic than the mountains that he created. And therefore, he has the power to do all that we have asked and even more. And so that brings us to our third mountain. And the third mountain is actually the second mountain that we must climb, because we're going to move the first mountain of desperation out of the way. So we climb the mountain of worship, but we also have to climb the mountain of challenge. And we all have to do this at some point in our lives, and very often several points in our lives. And there are those that have to climb the mountain of challenge more frequently than others. As a matter of fact, we often are climbing several mountains simultaneously as we are faced with several challenges that hit us at the same time. And such was the case with Elijah. The first challenge he had was that the nation of Israel was engaging in Baal worship. This was the result of King Ahab's marriage to a foreigner, a Sidonian woman named Jezebel, who was an ardent Baal worshiper. So what did she do? She brought with her 450 prophets of the false god Baal and 400 prophets of the false god Asherah. And she caused Israel, imagine, one woman caused Israel to become steeped in the worship of her false gods. And even though Ahab was the king, she dominated him and made him do whatever it is she wanted him to do. And then the second challenge facing Elijah was the state of affairs. God's displeasure over the false worship resulted in God cursing Israel, just as he had said he would do in Deuteronomy 28, where we find the blessings for obedience and the curses for disobedience. Their disobedience, according to Deuteronomy 28, would result in a curse. And this time, God chose to use Elijah as his instrument to stop it from raining for 3.5 years. This resulted in an APB, an all points bulletin, being put out on Elijah by both Ahab and Jezebel. They wanted him captured and killed. So Elijah was faced with this challenge and he had to run for his life. So he was hiding out. But now the tables were turned. And now Elijah has come up and surfaced from hiding based on the command of God. Oh my, yes. And he shows himself to Ahab and then with courage commands the king with these words. When Ahab saw Elijah, he exclaimed, "So it is really you, you troublemaker of Israel." Huh, imagine that. But Elijah wasn't accepting that. He said, "I have made no trouble for Israel. You and your family," meaning Jezebel, "are the troublemakers, for you have refused to obey the commands of the Lord and have worshiped the images of Baal instead. Now," I love this. Oh, this courage. I can hear him now. "Now, summon all of Israel to join me at Mount Carmel, the mountain of challenge, along with the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who are supported by Jezebel." Woo-wee. Oh, I love it. I love it. When God's people get the courage and stand up to the challenge that's facing us. And so Ahab did exactly as Elijah commanded. He summoned all the people of Israel and all the prophets to Mount Carmel. Then Elijah stood in front of the people of Israel and gave them this challenge. "How much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him." But guess what? The people were completely silent. They said nothing. Sounds like the Republicans. Oops, I'm sorry. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only prophet of the Lord who is left, but Baal has 450 prophets. So Elijah challenges these prophets. Now bring two bowls," he said. "The prophets of Baal may choose whichever one they wish. Cut it into pieces and lay it on the wood on their altar, but without setting fire to it. I will prepare the other bowl and lay it on the wood on the altar, but not set fire to it. Then call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by setting fire to the wood is the true God." So that's the challenge he put forth, and all the people agreed. Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, you go first, for there are many of you. You choose one of the bowls, prepare it, and call on the name of your God. But make sure, do not set fire to the wood. So they prepare the bowl, place it on the altar, and then they call on their God Baal from morning until noontime, shouting, making a whole bunch of noise. Oh, Baal, please answer us. But there was no reply of any kind. And then Elijah, about noontime, he began to mock them. Oh, you'll have to shout louder, for surely if he is a god, he will answer, but perhaps he's daydreaming, or maybe he's away on a trip, or is asleep and needs to be awakened. So shout a little bit louder. So they did. They shouted louder, and following their normal custom, they cut themselves with knives and swords until the blood gushed out. They raved all afternoon. Well, this is from morning until afternoon, at least a good 6 hours. Until the time of the evening sacrifice, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then, after all their antics, Elijah called the people, come over here. And they all crowded around him as he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been torn down. Then he dug a trench around the altar large enough to hold 3 gallons of water. He piled wood on the altar, cut the bowls into pieces, and laid the pieces on the wood. Then he said, fill 4 large jars with water, 4 large jars with water, and pour the water over the offering and the wood. And after they had done this, he said, do the same thing again. And when they were finished, he said, now do it a third time. So they did as he said, and the water ran around the altar and even filled up the trench. At the usual time for offering the evening sacrifice, 3 p.m., Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar. I mean, I can just see him bold and strong and courageous. Walked up to the altar and prayed, oh, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are the God of Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all of this at your command. That's important. He did all that he was doing at God's command. Oh Lord, answer me, so that these people will know that you, oh Lord, a God, and that you have brought them back to yourself. And what happened? Immediately, the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. It even licked up all the water in the trench. And when the people saw it, they were no longer silent. They fell down to the ground and cried out, the Lord, he is God. Yes, the Lord is God. And then Elijah commanded, seize all the prophets of Baal. Do not let a single one escape. So you're talking about 850 men. So the people seized them all. And what did Elijah do? He met the challenge face on. He took them down the mountain, down to the Kishon Valley, and Elijah the prophet killed them all. Wow. So Elijah met and overcame the challenge, the several challenges that were facing him. He climbed that mountain with faith and courage. So our call to action today is to do the exact same thing. You climb your mountain of challenge and overcome it with faith and with courage. Think of Elijah and what he did and how he overcame. And then you follow in his footsteps and do the same thing. Now, our time is up, but I didn't forget about the question I asked you yesterday about where did Elijah get the water from, since there was a drought for 3.5 years. I did get a couple of responses, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to maybe respond. Text me 302-740-2295 and tell me, where do you think they got the water from to douse the sacrifice 3 times? All right. So I know you're going to have a wonderful Wednesday, because you are facing this day with faith and courage. So peace and blessings rest upon you richly. Shalom.